Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Grayscale Gorilla podcast. I think we're going to do a kind of a Q&A thing on this episode. We're going to talk to the live chat room here. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Off Festival that I just got back from in Barcelona and some of the people I met there and some of the things I kind of learned and a little bit about my presentation that I gave at the festival. So we'll get to that as well. So, but first, a little news about Grayscale Gorilla. We're going to have a new product launching this week called the Texture Kit. So head on over to Grayscale Gorilla and sign up for the newsletter. You might want to sign up for the newsletter for next week. That might be a good idea for you guys. So go ahead and sign up there. And look in your inbox here next week for some information about the texture kit coming out. And I also want to let you guys know we're going to have some bundles coming in for some of the products for Cinema 4D. I want to bundle together some of the products and make sure that if you buy more than one, you can get kind of a deal and stuff like that. Anyway, that's just a little bit about the website. We're also having some more tutorials coming out. As always, we're trying to keep the website alive. Anyway, let's start talking about Off. Who says that in a podcast? Let's start talking about this. Well, I do. Sorry about that. At the Off Festival, I've heard about Off. And one of the reasons I actually have a passport in my name is because I was supposed to go to Off about 2 years ago when I worked at Digital Kitchen. And they were gonna send me over there to talk about I think it was True Blood, the True Blood titles, and somebody else couldn't make it, and it was gonna be me and maybe a couple people from New York or Seattle that worked on the titles, and we were gonna go over there and just kind of talk about that. Yeah, it was at Portugal. Thanks in the chat room for reminding me. That didn't work out either. So I got the passport. I got a rush passport, downtown. I was all ready to go. And what happened was my board got picked for the Conan O'Brien title sequence back then, about 2 years ago, which meant I couldn't go to Barcelona. But the good news was I could go to LA and film titles for my favorite little TV hero with the big hair. And so I didn't make it. But to get back to Off, I was asked this year to speak there, to do a presentation for the Off Festival. And I was very excited, said yes, and flew out to Spain, to Barcelona this last weekend. I went out there Friday. I left Thursday night. And got there it's a long flight. It's a long flight from Chicago to Spain. Got there and it was pouring down rain. Got in the hotel and headed over to the festival. And continued to meet such great people that I've either never met before and met at the show or also people I've known through Twitter or through the site or through the chat room here, and finally got to go hug people like Anwar Senturk, who I gave the Vimeo award to, and I never really got to meet him. He couldn't make it to New York for that, so I got to meet Anwar Senturk. I got to meet Hello I'm Flo, who's here in the chat room now hanging out. We got to drink some beers. I got to meet James White from Canada, and I've been following James's work for a long time, and finally got to meet and not only meet these guys, but kind of hang out and drink beers, and a whole group of people. This would be an entire podcast of me naming people that I met if I let it. But I'll say this, that everybody I met was really great and got some beers and hanging out and had some great talks about work, about how people work, and about creativity and about all this fun stuff I like to talk about anyway. So I want to say thanks to everybody that came up and introduced themselves, said hi, gave me a high five, And to everybody I hung out with, I really had a good time. Really great festival, and a lot of really good speakers. I unfortunately only made it to the festival for the last about day and a half, and I didn't get to see a ton of presentations, mainly because I was speaking on the one day and I had to get all the stuff ready for that. And the day I got there a little late. But the presentations I did see were really, really interesting. Some really, really talented people, smart dudes on stage talking about their process mostly. And I always love seeing that. I always love people that love what they do. And you get them on a stage talking about what they love to do and giving you a little bit of insight on how they do what they do. I always love hearing people talk about that stuff, mainly because it's, you know, I said this a little bit in my presentation today, but it's a little bit, you get to see kind of crazy designer, you know, creative kind of people talk about how weird they are and how much the people want them to do more work. And there's something about the idea that these kind of super talented people go on stage and show you all their crazy work. And then they also say that they also get calls from people that want them to do more crazy work. And that's just, you know, when you talk about inspiration, when you talk about being excited and learning from other people, I think that's one of the best things I love hearing from other people is, this is what I love doing. I did it and I worked my ass off to do it. And now other people want me to do it for them for money. And that whole story was told mostly over and over and over again on stage with all these presentations. And it was really, really, really good. It was interesting to see. And like I said, it always makes you think about your own process. I don't think I'm the only one that thinks this way, but I tend to think of how I do my work when I hear how other people do their work. And it gets me excited to hear people just pretty much doing whatever they like to do. And then other people kind of liking it. And, you know, there's so much we could talk about on this idea, but this is essentially my presentation, the presentation that I gave there. You know, for me, I think sometimes people want me to show my work and sit there and do kind of what a lot of other people did on stage. And I do like doing that. And I don't mind, doing that. I just think that there's two things. One is that I haven't done any, you know, commercial work in a couple years now, as far as in that space, as far as design and all that stuff, right? But the other thing is I like, you know, to take my talk topic and push it to the high level of it. I really like actually talking about the process more than talking about one specific example about one specific job that I did, and trying to look at a creative situation and pull out the big thoughts out of it is what I like doing. It's what I like doing on this podcast, and it's what I like learning about. And as you know, I still have a lot to learn about it. But when I got asked to present, that's kind of what I ended up doing, was talking about the idea that to be successful in your career as a creative person, your number one job is to figure out what you like to do, what you like doing more than anything. And I'll give you the short example is, you have to find out what you like doing, because there are other people that might do what you think you like doing. So I brought up an example. I forgot what the specific example was. I think it was web design. But if you somehow became a web designer because that's what was paying and that's what your friends asked you to do, and now all of a sudden you're designing websites or let's say, you know, flyers that you put on windshield wipers or something. If that's your job right now, and that's where you wanted to be, but then awesome. That's exactly where you need to be. But if that's not the reason you set out to do this, and more importantly, if you're not happy with where you are, you need to really step back and think about where you are and where you want to be and the difference between those two things in your current job. Now, I'm not saying go quit your job. I'm not saying go tell your boss to shut up get out of your face or whatever. Or I'm not telling you to go fire all your clients. All I'm saying is be constantly aware about how much you like what you're doing. And the big reason is because you're not into this stuff because, you know, you're not doing this because your parents did this, I think, right? And you're not doing this because there's a bunch of money in it. You're doing this stuff because you like doing this stuff. And that's really, really the key. And what really drives it home, I think, is that watching all these smart people in Barcelona talk about their job, you realize that they love what they do. And that makes them more successful and more happy. And I think that a lot of people would like to be in that position. And I think that the way to get closer to that goal is to realize what you love doing, and do more of that. And here's the other thing I don't think I quite spelled out yet, but if you are doing something that, if you're a web designer, right, and you're only there because you kind of fell into it, then you're actually competing with other web designers that are into web design. You're actually competing and working up against and around other people that actually want to design websites. Their whole life is user interface or design specifically for human interaction, and website is like geeks them out, right? And not only are you taking their job in a way, but you're also competing against them in a way that is that you kind of have an underhand, because you're not going to put the hours in. You're not going to be as passionate about it as they are. You're not going to stay up all night worrying about this problem because, you know, hey, it's your job. And that's okay. I think that's fine. But it's not fine for people that complain about their job all day. Because if you are a creative person and you like making things and you got into this for some reason, think about what that was and really think about what you want to do. Think about where you want to be. And, you know, again, you don't have to go jump and leave your job or whatever, but do one thing a weekend based on the thing that you like doing. So if you're the web designer, but you really, really like motion graphics or whatever, do that job. Get the, you know, pay the bills, bring it home and hang out and do that stuff. But don't go read more about web design all weekend. And don't keep up with web design blogs if that's not what you're into, like in your free time, right? Don't go read a web design book unless you want to, right? If you have multiple interests, read it all. Read everything. More information is always a good idea. So, but if your end goal, if you right now want to do this animated stuff, play all day or work all day at your job, but then come home and play with the stuff that you want to do, because that's the only way you'll get into it. I don't know. I kind of rambled about this topic for 50 minutes on stage and maybe that was all that needed to be said about it, but I somehow was able to stretch it for 50 minutes, and there was some other stuff in there. And I think they're going to release them. I hope they release them. I know they filmed it. They filmed me walking around stage doing all that stuff. And hopefully it'll be out on either their site or something someday. But I'm really interested in this idea recently that the answer to almost everything is, what do you think? In a really, really stupid way. And I hate saying it like that because nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear, what do you think? Because they want an answer. And the problem is there's no answer. The answer is different for everybody. The answer is in trying it out. And that's really I think I've said that five things are really the key here, but trying it out is really the big differentiator between knowing what you like and knowing what you don't like. And I'll give you another example I brought up in the talk about me being a photographer. And I love taking photos, and I love bringing my camera around the city, and I loved hanging out with my friends and taking photos of my friends. And then I got asked to do real photography work, work that real photographers do. One of them was an event where I went to kind of a wedding type of situation, or like a pre-wedding party thing, and officially took photos. Another one was another event. It was an AIGA event that I went and shot. And what I realized was, I don't like that. I didn't really like walking around and making people stand together and take a shot of eight people in a room, or making sure that I got the critical shot of when, the dad and the mom were speaking to their daughter about marriage or whatever, and I had to get this like key shot, right? That stress was crazy. It made me remember being a wedding DJ and how stressful that was, and how these weren't the reasons I got into photography. These were not the reasons I got into photography. I got into photography so I could walk around the city and take my time and be slow about it and wait for the perfect shot and take it home and process it and play with it and find one good photo out of 1,000 that I liked. And shooting, 2,000 shots in a night and processing all of them with, all these people in them that I didn't know wasn't my goal. And so what you may be is that photographer that got into photography, you learned it all, you learned the buttons, you learned all the stuff, and hopefully if Robert Paul's still around, maybe there's something here for you, buddy. There's this place where you've sat and learned all this stuff, but then when they decide to pay you to do what you think you like doing, all of a sudden you're taking photos of aunts and uncles, and you're not doing what you originally thought you got into this for. And I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is for you. I bring up these examples just to prove a point, but the idea is like this is different for everybody. You got into what you got into for a reason. And for me, I got into all this stuff to learn it because I liked playing around with it. I liked being better at what I did. And anything else, no matter the money or the whatever, tends to get me in a place where I don't like going to work sometimes. Very rarely, but, that one time you don't want to go work is fine. But you get 10 of those days in a row where you don't like going to work, that's where you have to really think about this and really sit back and realize what are you doing with your day, and what would you rather be doing? What would you rather be doing? So that was that was a little bit about what I talked about at the Off Festival. Hopefully it's a little more in the detail in the video, and we'll hopefully have that. So what else happened? So, holy crap, James White. Let's talk about James White. I remember being introduced to James's work, and James's site is Signal Noise, signalnoise.com. And I think I was introduced to him through ISO 50's website or something. There was that early group of designers that actually spoke to me. A lot of the design up to that point was that I saw and what my friends were into was either very very standard, clean, just like type. How do I say this? Like laying a book out or something, or laying a magazine out. And it was very type heavy. Everyone I went to school with that was into design was very type heavy and magazines and that type of stuff. And that stuff didn't really speak to me. And then there was a big phase where everything was very technical. It was very, blinky and very sci-fi, heads up display kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden I discovered, ISO 50, James White. I still can't think of that other guy that we talked about, James. We'll figure that out. I'll try to get it for the show notes. I met these, or I didn't meet them. I saw these people and their websites and their style of design. No Pattern. Was introduced to his work, and some guys out in Chicago called, smart dudes too. Why am I so bad with names? I'm going to get all these links and hopefully get you the smart dudes in Chicago doing really, really good work. And what they had was this really colorful, fun, simple in a way design, and not simple that it's easy to make, but simple in the way that you didn't have to add 18,000 layers on top of stuff to make it look more designed. You know what I mean? That one letter simply placed and well put on a simple colored background is design, and it looks beautiful. And I thought that it looked beautiful. And I really loved, seeing other talented artists get into this design stuff and not and make something that spoke to me more. I don't know where I'm going with this, other than that's kind of how I discovered James's work. Well, over the last year or so, James now has a live show that he does, kind of like this, but more organized. And he always gets some really good questions in there. And so he does the live show, and I've talked to him, through Skype and emailed back and forth with him. I even helped him out with some projects he was doing. He's helped me out with projects I've been doing. And I finally, holy crap, got to go all the way to Barcelona. He only lives three, four hours in an airplane from here. But of course I had to fly all the way to Barcelona to be able to hug him and give him a high five, which I think Hello, I'm Flo got on camera. You can look that up. Real nerdy. And we got to talk. And, we talked about a lot of the stuff we talk about here. And it's really, I love talking to creative people, designers, and all these people about what they struggle with, what's their day-to-day, he's getting office space, and we talked about that. And, we talked about a bunch of great stuff. I really, really love it. That's the story about James. I don't know. what else? Oh, dude, we went to brunch. And now I just feel like I'm telling you my day-to-day, but we went to this really nice brunch in Barcelona. And I got to meet his girlfriend. She was there. Wonderful, wonderful time. And I would highly recommend that next year, if you have the chance, if you could swing it, go to the festival, man. Go meet everybody. Like I always say, one of the best places you can go meet and talk to people that are around your interests, that are doing things that you like to do. Festivals are the way to do that stuff. Especially if you're in Europe, man, get down there. Really get down there. All right. So that is where we are right now. Now, I'm going to check out with the chat room here and see if anybody has some good questions about either Off or James, or about this whole idea of doing what you like doing, this creativity stuff. Let me have it, guys, if you do it. Brapat is asking about the Off spot, and I think he's asking about my Off animation that I did for the festival. They asked me to contribute an animation on the title called Year Zero, so I made a short animation in Cinema 4D, After Effects, and stuff. Real short, kind of simple animation. Using the title Year Zero, and I just put it up on the blog. And the sound design is mostly a track from my friend's band, Adam's Castle. And you can see a link there on the blog for Adam's Castle. I think it's castleband.com. And I've known them since right after high school for in like 98, I think I met Adam's Castle. And their new album, which is really well done, was out, and they gave it to me, and I was listening to this track and I thought how kind of creepy it was. So I used that as the basis of the animation. But then I added some sound effects and a couple little hits to the animation on top of that. Real subtle stuff, nothing crazy. I would say 90% of that is their track. So go check that out. That was pretty fun. Hopefully you were talking about my animation. The off-animation title sequence is really cool. That was really cool. It's long, too. You guys should check that out. I'll try to remember to link to that as well. Let's see. Can I list the conventions I go to? T-Catch is asking me if I could list the conventions I go to. Well, this year and last year, let's see, I went to NAB, which is usually in Las Vegas. I think it's always in Las Vegas. And that is where I do a lot of stuff with Cinema 4D and Maxon. And they have me out there to talk about their software and do some presentations and some demos of Cinema 4D and show people how to use it. I also do that at Seagraph. And I think I'll be at Seagraph this year as well for exactly that. If you guys are going to Seagraph, I think that's Vancouver this year. But this will be my second time in Seagraph. I'm also going to the HOW conference in Chicago this year. I'm not sure what days, but I know I'm doing a presentation for the HOW conference with Maxon as well. So I'm doing some Cinema 4D stuff there. The AWE Festival was my first time. And then I've also done a lot of school talks. I talk a lot to Hyper Island in Sweden. I'm usually there once a year, at least for the last 3 years I have been. And I think I'm going to be there again at the end of the summer. And what else? And then again, a lot of schools, colleges, you know, tech schools and trade schools, and they have me come in and talk to their students about all this fun stuff. And hopefully people learn, you know, from me screwing up. Let's check the chat room here. See if there's any more questions. How is my Spanish? Well, me in Barcelona was, I'll say this, being in Barcelona is a lot different than going to Sweden. If you go to Sweden, everybody knows English, everybody knows English. If you go to Barcelona, nobody knows English. Most people didn't know English unless they were directly like at the hotel. The guy at the hotel knew English, and most don't. The cab driver, I totally screwed up and forgot to trade in my dollars for euros when I got there. So I got into a cab with a Visa and U.S. dollars expecting to pay for this cab. Well, he didn't take Visa, and he didn't know English. So we had to figure out how I was going to pay. And we were driving and driving and driving. The only word I knew from Spanish, thank God, was banco, which I guess, you know, you don't really need to learn Spanish to know what banco is. But, you know, I figured, you know, he's going to drop me off at a bank. I'm going to exchange my money. I'm going to pay him. And luckily, that's what happened. Thank God that worked. I ended up at a lot of Starbucks, I'll say, and mainly because I know how to order. And I couldn't find a lot of there were some other coffee shops, but in my little neighborhood, I was right next to the Starbucks. Why not go? I'm the dumb American. I'm gonna go. But I also went and got some how do you say it, paella? Oh no, I want to say that's a Spanish dish. That was pretty good. And then the beer. Somebody was asking about the beer, and I think what was the real popular one there? San Miguel. I'm checking with the chat room here to make sure I got that one. I think it's San Miguel. You know, that was okay. That was okay. You know, there's not a lot of ales. I'm an ale guy. I'm not a big, I just like ales. I mean, there's always, it seems like in Europe, it's either a wheat beer. Not, I don't want to say Europe because I know that Europe or London and UK is a lot more ales. And maybe I'm just not going to the right places. I'm going to think about it like this. Now we're way off topic. But if you go into some random bar in Chicago, if I didn't know where to go in Chicago and I walked in, their beer list is probably going to look a lot like the Spanish beer list in the way that it's a lot of pilsners. It's a lot of standard beers that you can kind of find everywhere. And I specifically have to go to specific places in Chicago and I know where they are so that I can get my my ales and my local brews and whatever. Well, in another country, I don't know where those places are. I don't know where the specialty beer bar is, right? So I just kind of walk in and they have food and they have beers and, you know, I get the local beer and it's okay. It's okay. Maybe I need to get a taste for it. I'll drink it. I drink a heck of a lot of them on the airplane to try to get some sleep. Man, that did not work. That just got me drunk. But I got to say, it was pretty good. It was pretty good, but I'm glad when I got home that I went out to the bar and got some Revolution Brew at the local brewery, and I'm glad I'm home. All right, let's check in again what do you call this thing? Chat room, and we'll answer a few more questions, and then we'll wrap up the podcast. This one's a little hairy today. This one's all over the place. I don't even know. Does this even work as a podcast? Does it work if you're not in the chat room? I have no idea. All right. Whales for Life is asking. Oh, that's a good one. Do you think sharing your work on YouTube and Vimeo is hindering creativity or pushing people to be more creative? Are we breeding copycats? ? Whales for Life. Thanks for the question, man. That is a huge question, and I think it goes both ways. I think teaching people techniques and how to do things can do one of two things. It can teach you the reasons behind how to do it and why you do it and give you the knowledge so that you could try the next problem. And for a lot of people, though, a lot of people look at a technique and they just learn it to learn that one technique. And the problem is there's no way to teach in a way that excludes one but includes the other. So if you think about it, like, I don't know. This is maybe an awful analogy, but it's coming into my head, and we'll see if it works. You know, if you go learn how to fix a sink, right? If you go to a class to learn how to fix a sink, well, there's one type of person that's going to learn how to fix the sink and just know how to fix a sink after that. He's going to look down and he's going to go, now I know how to fix a sink. And if somebody goes, hey, the drain on my my shower isn't working, can you take a look at it? He's going to go, I don't know how to look at drains. All I know, the only thing I know, and the only thing I learned from that is how to fix a sink. And if you ask me to fix a sink, I can do it over and over and over again. And also, if that sink is broken in the same way that first sink was, right? But the other type of person might learn how to fix a sink, and he might be asking questions like, what is this tool doing? Why do we have this tool? He may be asking things like, is this the same type of flange that is on a drain in a shower? And he may be asking, you know, why do we have this little curvy thing after the sink? It drops down and it does this little trap, you know? What is that all about? Why is it there? And that person is going to be able to look at another problem that is similar to the sink and maybe be able to solve it. Because he's learning not just the technique of the situation, but he's learning why everything works the way it does, and he's learning the tool. He's learning how the tool works so that when he's faced with another problem, he can apply his knowledge to the neck to the next problem. And he may not be able to totally solve that next problem, but at least he knows the functions of the tools. He knows why we're using these tools and not other tools. Why are we using a screwdriver and not a hammer? And in what cases would we use a hammer, right? And hopefully this stupid analogy works, but some people will watch a tutorial and only get out of the tutorial what is in the tutorial. So in other words, they're going to know how to press all of these buttons in a row and get this output, get this outcome. And those are the people that will follow a tutorial and they won't even change the colors. I mean, if I make it orange and gray, and I'll use my tutorials as an example, but if I make something orange and gray and black, they won't even make it orange and pink and black or orange and green and black. And it seems as though they are literally learning the technique. And that's fine. That's totally fine, depending on where you are in your career. The problem is when you know how to fix a sink and you call yourself a plumber. And that's really the problem. What you don't want to do is know one specific idea in one specific category and solve one specific problem and think that you can solve other problems. You can always get better at that stuff. And nobody knows everything about everything, but to only know the tutorial and to present it as you knowing your job it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And it's one of the reasons I try to talk at the end of a lot of my tutorials about, you know, what else can we do? How can you push it forward? How can you make this double what it is? How can you do this with a different shape? How can you do this with, different colors and different words and different ways? You know, these are excuses to learn the technique. And I always bring up the example of learning music that you you always learn how to play covers. You learn how to play the Beatles because it's exciting. And at the end of it, you could play a Beatles song. But to play one or two Beatles songs over and over again and tell people you're a songwriter is not the goal. The goal is to learn the tools and learn the techniques so that you can have an understanding of how things are being made and how problems are being solved day to day. And this really happens. I'll say this: if you get to the end of a tutorial and it makes you excited to watch another tutorial, I would say you might be part of the first group. But if you get to the end of a tutorial and you can't wait to shut the tutorial off so that you can make your own version or use this technique you just found out to apply it to something else, I would say you're the second part of the group, the part of the group that wants to learn how things are working and not just and why, way more important than how, but why things are working the way they are, so that they can apply it to their own project and to their next thing. What a great question. And hopefully there's something there. It's something I struggle with. But you have to take both. There's no way to teach one without teaching the other. And all I can do is encourage people to, take what they're doing and push it further. And I'll say this right before we finish up, I'll say this too. Some people just want their damn sink fixed and that's fine. Some people have a boss or a client or somebody behind them that says, "Hey, can you make our logo out of spheres?" And they go, "Dude, I know exactly what to do." And they can watch the tutorial and they have it. They done. And I'm okay with that too. You know what? If they want to watch it and use it and impress their boss, that's fine. But I encourage not to happen. I encourage people to come up with their own concepts and their own ideas. But I totally realize that that's not, That's not the end goal for a lot of people. The end goal for a lot of people is to use the sink. They just want it done. Thanks for the question, buddy. I appreciate that. Somebody else had a good question too. If you could throw that on there. Konotor is asking if people that copy my tutorials piss me off. And it doesn't make me angry. I'm not mad. I'm just concerned about their portfolio. You know what I mean? I'm concerned about their career path because I try to talk about both sides. I know the tools are fun and I know learning this stuff is fun and I know showing it off is fun. But without the other side, without learning more about it and becoming a better designer, a better artist and a better creator, you can't have that sustainable career as a creative person. And if you just have a reel full of copied tutorials, you'll eventually get figured out. Now, you could probably go get a job somewhere. And that's okay. You know, and like I said, I'm not pissed off about it. But I am concerned when I get when people show me their reels or their tutorial or their videos and stuff and it all looks the same, right? And you know, maybe that's partly my fault, right? But really at the end it's their fault. It's up to you to make your stuff. And you know what? I learned everything I know from tutorials. And I learned everything I know by learning from other people. I'm not saying that I have this like original look or whatever that's all mine, but I try to make stuff for me. You know, I like orange and I like spheres and I like good lighting. And you know what? I'm going to teach that and hopefully people can learn that and move forward with it. It's a tough question. You know, I don't know exactly how I feel about it. I'm definitely not pissed. I just want to teach, and you're going to have the good and the bad. You're going to have both sides and I'm okay with that. All right. Let's see here. Roop. Checking the chat room here. And I think we got time for one more question and then we'll roll out. Great questions today, guys. I really appreciate it. I really, really do. Let's see what we got here. People asking technical questions. I don't think we ever talk about technical stuff here as far as like tutorials. Let's see. Somebody's asking about Krakatoa effects. I don't think I've heard the name Krakatoa. I think that's a Max thing, if I'm remembering, but I don't know what that is. You guys may have to school me on what that Krakatoa is. All right. Let's see here. Yep. Well, I don't see any good questions here. Sorry, guys. nothing related to the kind of topics here today. But we're going to wrap it up here. Come on into the chat room if you guys want to ask a question for the live shows between 2 and 3 o'clock Central Time, and that's Chicago time. That's CST. And if you want to go to grayscalegorilla.com/live, I have a countdown timer there, and you can come watch the show live. And as always, you could record or just subscribe to the podcast and do all that stuff. And you're going to get some more other than the podcast. There's also going to be some other speaking gigs and stuff that are going to be thrown in there. I recorded a recent thing I did at Intelligentsia Coffee with AIGA in Chicago here, and I'm going to try to throw that out on the podcast so you guys can listen to that as well. So I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for stopping by in the chat room today and for listening to another episode of the podcast. I'll see you guys soon. Bye, everybody.